So we are kicking off our new sermon series, Picture Perfect, and you may have noticed in the slide that was up there, and also the front of your program, there are various pictures up there and also on there, and those are people from our congregation, and some of them are you. So if you look through those and you think, boy, that person looks familiar, they might be sitting right next to you. So pretty cool thing that we get to be a part of the front cover. As we start this new sermon series, I think of Picture Perfect, and we may look like we have it all together, but a lot of times not so much, right? Not so much. And sometimes we'll say to each other, if I knew now what I didn't know then, you know, what we would say to our younger selves. And some of you may have heard this phrase, you know, we make plans and then God laughs, right? And sometimes things don't always turn out the way that we thought that they would. So picture frames, when we purchase those in the stores or they come to us, they can come a couple different ways. One is that they can just come empty, right? You've got nothing in there. Or a lot of times you'll have a nice-looking family in there that you have no idea who that is, right? It's a display of what comes in that frame. And I'd like to suggest that at a young age, our frames and the photos in them begin to develop and change over the years as life changes. One of the things that I like to do, and you may do this as well in your home, is in the picture frames, you may have like maybe say an 8x10, I have those in my house, and you switch it out with, you know, a different picture. And I especially love it with my kids because you get to see right when they were itty bitty and just the evolution of how they grow and change. A common question that's asked of little ones when they're in that little picture, little of them in the picture, is that, what do you want to be when you grow up, right? We like to ask little kids that question, what do you want to be when you grow up? And then as our students graduate from high school, we ask, where do you want to go to college, right? We have all of these questions. And then when they go to college, you know, what do you want to study? What do you want to do with that degree? And then when kids are little, when we were little, we speak straight from the heart, and little ones speak straight from the heart, right? I want to be an astronaut. I want to be a president. And I love how, you know, they're just so free with what they want to be. But as we grow older and those pictures change in those frames, reality sets in. And our hopes and our dreams, or what we hope to become, we realize comes along with commitment, and a lot of times comes along with a price tag and the pressures that come along with it. Adulthood brings a career path, responsibility, and for some, marriage and family. When kids are little, a challenge or a worry that they may have in their life is, who's home to play with? Do they have the latest video game or maybe even the toy? And then teens, some of the worries with teens are, will I make the team? Will I make the team, and who are my friends? As students graduate from high school, where to go to college? And then when those who graduate from college, where to work and how to adult to learn this new season of life? And then when you become adult, you get the joy, right, of paying bills. And then family comes as well. Then times change, and the worry becomes, okay, you get to be the parent. Today we are exploring this idea of, dear younger me, if I knew now what I didn't know then. For some of you, you may be right where you want to be in life. This may be exactly what you had planned, and this is what you envision for yourself. But for others, life has given twists and turns and maybe even a few detours. Maybe even gone off the road and needed a tow truck to get back on the road. And others wonder, how in the heck did I get where I am today in this season of life? Dear younger me, what would you say to yourself with what you know now? You see, the things that we worry about today are much different than the things that we used to worry about then. God reminds us through his words of Jeremiah the prophet, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. 16 years ago, my dad died, and I have this picture of him that sits on the windowsill of my kitchen, and it's inscribed with Jeremiah 29:11, and I bought this little frame shortly after he died. And it, for many years, has brought me great comfort because I bought it with this verse, knowing that the plans that God had for him, and that there's even a greater plan in heaven. But lately, as I look at this treasured picture and the inscription on there, I can't help but think of my earthly father with my heavenly father both speaking these words to me, "For I know the plans I have for you, Julie." And it brings me tremendous comfort. Today I want to share a little bit about my story, and you're welcome for this lovely picture. This is my senior picture, circa 1986. 80s hair was real. We have any 80s people in here? Yeah, 80s hair was a thing. So I grew up in Vandalia, which is just north of Dayton, and younger me was very shy. I would never raise my hand in class, and I was embarrassed if I was called upon. My mom still says she still can't believe that I'm up here. School was okay for me. It was not my favorite thing. And when I started junior high, my principal noticed the shy side of me, and he asked if I would be a helper in the office. And so it helped to build my confidence during that time and to bring me out of my shell. And I really enjoyed working in the office. We had things called, I'm aging myself now, we had Ditto machines back there. Maybe remember the Ditto machine? Oh, and I'd love to smell the Dittos, right? Love to smell the Dittos. And I'm aging myself. Today actually is my birthday, so I just have to, I'm going to tell you a secret. I told the first service the secret, but I'll tell you, I'm 52. Don't tell anybody. but anyway, in junior high, I really started to come out of my shell. And then my freshman year, school was, it was junior high then, and it was 7 through 9. And I had a science teacher, Mrs. Adamczak, and she wrote on my report card that I was a social butterfly. Just so you know, I take that as a badge of honor to be called a social butterfly. But apparently I like to talk too much in class. Well, that was more interesting than science to me, right? So anyway, just began to just evolve and to come out of my shell a little bit. I absolutely loved high school. It was so much fun, some of the best years of my life, but it was a challenge. It was a challenge because I was an average student, and I really wasn't cut out for college. Truth is, I lacked the confidence. I attended a 2-year school and earned an associate's degree in business, and I had a career in retail management. I started out my career with Elder Beerman in Dayton, and then they transferred me in 1989 to Forest Fair Mall. Some of you may be familiar with that. I still call it Forest Fair. It's not even close to that nowadays, but I just had a wonderful experience there. And I remember, too, I went through the management training program, and I was with other kids my age, and they had just come out of these big 4-year schools. They had bachelor's degrees, and I just kind of went skip over that conversation as to where I went to school. And I love this saying, it's what you do with what you've got, and there's so much truth to that. So after starting my family, I decided to work just part-time at a local boutique so I could raise my kids. And being a mom is the greatest joy of my life. And what a treasure to be able to share that on this Mother's Day. So being a mother, again, is just the greatest joy of my life. And there's a mom-to-be that asked me the question of how do you know how to be a mom? Right? How do you know how to parent? Because I remember that when I was pregnant with my first one. And my response to her was, I'm still learning. Anybody else? Right? Still learning how to be a parent. You see, God looks at us as his children. And he is our Heavenly Father. And he is continuing to teach us every day. And we never stop learning from God. We never stop learning. So God gave us the chronos, the sequence of time. We've got it on our wrists. We've got it on our phones to experience those kairos moments, those moments with God. And he's always with us, working in us, through us, and around us. I think Hayden might want to come up. Aww. In 2001, I had this powerful recommitment to Christ in this conversion moment where the Holy Spirit had just gotten a hold of me in a good way. And my prayer for months was for God to use me. And I pray that prayer periodically. And I tell you, when you say that prayer, be ready because he's going to use you. In 2003, I was asked to come on staff here at Faith Community as the small groups coordinator, just 8 hours a week. And we were launching this new study called The Purpose-Driven Life. Some of you in this room, I think, remember, right, when we launched A Purpose-Driven Life. And again, it was just an interim position, but it turned into a permanent position. And so I had resigned from my little part-time job and said yes to this interim position. And some 16 years later, which is hard to believe, some 16 years later, here I am. And God says to me, still today, "For I know the plans I have for you, Julie." As I embraced the new role here on staff, I felt God saying to me, "There's more. There is more for you." And I began to explore the call that God had placed on my heart to enter into pastoral ministry. You see, God equips us in the mission field, but he also equips us in the classroom. So 7 years ago, I answered my call to pastoral ministry in the UMC. And I felt, again, this call to be an elder in the United Methodist Church. But I only had an associate's degree. I only had an associate's degree. And I didn't have the means or the confidence to achieve higher education. And the truth is, I never really enjoyed school, and I never felt smart enough. So I set out on this path for licensed local pastor, and I enrolled in the course of study program up at United Theological Seminary in Dayton. And it's a 5-year program, and you take 4 classes a year, and at the end of that program, you get a certificate when you're done. And after a few classes, my confidence grew, and I did well. And again, I felt God saying to me, "There is more. There is more." And so I was praying, and I began to dream, and I said, "What if? What if?" And God said, "Trust me. Trust me." And I prayed for doors to be opened if it was his will for me to walk through. And one after another, the doors opened, and I walked through. You see, I had the end in mind. I had the end in mind, but I had to go back in order to get there. I knew that the last door would be earning my Master of Divinity degree and going through the ordination process, but there was a lot that I needed to do to get there. God set this path out before me, and Jeremiah reminds me again, "For I know the plans that I have for you." So after a year and a half, I stopped the course of study program in May of 2014, enrolled and started the same month at Grand Canyon University Online, again saying to myself, "You're not smart enough. You're not smart enough." And God said, "Trust me." Any of you that have studied online, it's not easy to study online. I earned my Bachelor of Arts in Christian Studies and graduated summa cum laude in April of 2016. And then I started back at United Theological Seminary to begin working on my master's that next August. And I will graduate next week after 6 consecutive years of education. I knew that following my call would mean devoting time to education. I had to commit the chronos time of my life, but have been blessed in those kairos moments. You hear funny things when you tell people that you're going to seminary. I remember when I started, somebody said to me, "Don't let it ruin you. Don't let it ruin you." I said, "Trust me, you're not. There will be no professor coming out of this." But I just thought that was funny. And then you tell other people that, and they say, "Oh, you're going to cemetery, right? Where they try to kill you instead of seminary, cemetery, right? And just going to take the life right out of you." But it has been a life-giving experience for me. We remember in creation when God breathed life into Adam. And just as God breathed life into Adam, he has breathed life into me. And for some of you that are sitting here in this space listening to this message, you might need to hear this, that the Spirit wants to breathe new life into you, whatever you are experiencing right now. So dear younger me, seek God, trust God, walk in obedience. You would have told me 8 years ago that I would be standing up here today sharing my story. I'm not sure that I would have believed it. You see, I've got 2 miracles. One is I have earned my MDiv, but the other is that I drove to Dayton week after week for 3 years, and I did not get a speeding ticket. Ah! And I was hoping I was going to say this because I'm like, "Oh, Lord, just, you know, let me get through a little bit longer. One more trip up that highway." So I'll graduate next week earning my master's degree and also being given an award at graduation for demonstrating outstanding scholarship and practice in the field of pastoral caregiving. Graduating students were asked to share a few sentences of their seminary experience. And like I said, it has been a blessing to me. I have loved absolute every minute of it. So I sent in, a few words to share, and I get the response back. And they said, "Hey, can you send a few pictures?" And I'm like, sure. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, I'm going to be on the website, which is just fine. So my phone begins to blow up. And come to find out, they sent out 4,500 mailers with this on the front cover. I said, oh, my word. I had no idea. And it's got a nice little testimony on the inside and also doing a web campaign as well. I share that with you, not to brag on myself, but to brag on God. You see, only God could do this. He uses you, and he uses me, if we are brave enough to let him. If we are brave enough to let him. You see, I go back to my thoughts, but God, I'm not smart enough. I don't have the confidence. I'm not equipped. And he says, trust me. And look what we're going to do. We're going to allow you to be someone to encourage this next generation. You see, this is a testimony of what God can do. He said to me, trust me, I know the plans I have for you. And next month, I'm excited to share as well that I'm going to be commissioned as a provisional elder in the United Methodist Church. You see, never underestimate the power of God. I believe that when we walk in obedience, he will give us more. I've been talking about this idea over the past couple of weeks of co-laboring with Jesus. You see, it takes commitment. It takes the chronos, our time, to meet God in the kairos moments, those God moments, those holy moments. And I am so excited for what's next. You see, this end that I was going for is just the beginning. It is just the beginning. And I am so grateful to each and every one of you. Whether you know it or not, you have been on this journey with me, and you have encouraged me, and you have supported me, and I am so grateful. I'm going to be taking the month of June off, and we'll return in July, and I'm looking forward to no homework and be able to read what I want to read, right? It's been a little while. And I'm also looking forward to the new opportunities that are going to happen here at Faith Community. God has so many things that he has put on my heart. And on the front of this card, I did not create this, it says, accelerate the movement. And I feel that this is a commission and a call to me from God, that we've got a mighty movement of God that is upon us, and it is exciting times. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. You see, Jeremiah, he wrote this letter to the exiles who were living in captivity in Babylon, and he was a prophet speaking for God, and he wrote this letter to help them deal with the changes that they were experiencing. You see, some of you might be experiencing some changes in your life right now. Maybe a new job. You've got an upcoming wedding. Maybe some could be going through some marital issues and maybe divorce. There could be a new baby on the way. Maybe some health concerns. Maybe graduation. Just a variety of significant changes in your life. You see, I believe that God has a plan for us, but I want you to hear this morning as well. I believe that when we experience the difficult times in our lives, maybe you've had a diagnosis with cancer, maybe you've lost somebody tragically, that this is not God's plan. That is not God's plan. However, I do believe that he will use our circumstances to draw us closer to him. Draw us closer to him. So a couple of things to think about. One is, don't miss the starting point. Wherever you are, don't miss the starting point. Every transition is fertile ground for divine transaction. Don't miss what God is going to do in the starting point that you are in right now. Another thing is to accept where you are. Our understanding is not a prerequisite for our obedience. I just absolutely love this, because how many times in life that we don't understand, God, I don't know why this is happening to me. But sometimes we don't always understand on the front end of it. So our understanding is not a prerequisite for our obedience. You know, I didn't necessarily know where God was going to take me with all this education, but you know what? You walk in obedience and you'll find out later. But to walk in obedience, our understanding is not a prerequisite for our obedience. And then another is to put yourself in the hands of God. To trust him. And one of the things that I love about this passage so much, for he says, for I know the plans I have for you. Plans. It's plural. There's an S on the end of that. This is not the only plan. You may be in this season right now, but this is not all that he has for you. Plans. It is plural. For I know the plans that I have for you. For some of us, we have this thought of, he's brought us this far, right? And he's going to take us even farther. So for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Dear me, dear me. So in this moment, whatever season you're in, dear me. Friends, I want you to know what this passage tells us is that God thinks about you. I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, God thinks about you. You're so quiet this morning. God thinks about you. In this passage, he tells us he has thoughts of peace for you and over you. God has a promise for you. And never waste your time resisting God. Don't waste your time resisting God. God has a future for you. And we are expectant of what God is going to do. I love the two verses that follow next in verses 12 and 13. But I want you to hear again, starting at verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and plans to give you a future. And then this is where we seal it. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. You see, God has these plans for us, right? That this promise that he has over our lives. But we've got to be in communication with God. How do we position and posture ourselves to be able to hear him and to receive what he is telling us? And you will call on me and I will and come and I will pray and I will listen to you. God will listen to us. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So many of us are in a season in this life. What does this time look like for you? What does this time look like for you? Where are you meeting God in those Kairos moments? I love this quote from Mother Teresa. She says, yesterday is gone, tomorrow has not yet come. We only have today. Let us begin. Let us begin. 7 years ago, I questioned where God was leading me. And, you know, many of us have that where we question. And it's okay to say, God, are you sure? Are you sure? You know, are you sure this is what your will is for me? And I have a couple things that I want to share with you as you discern God's plan for you in your life. Three things to remember. The first one is to trust. To trust. And again, God, you know, I trust you, but you know what? It's okay to say a sign or two would be good, right? Just to let me know if I'm headed in the right direction. I love Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. Another thing to keep in mind is to be purposeful and obedient. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing from the Lord you will receive the inheritance of your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. You know, when Tim and I prepare messages and share with all of you, and Sean and the worship band brings us into the presence of God through worship, you know, we want to engage people. We want you to feel connected with God. But ultimately, I want to please God as I walk out of here on Sunday morning. And I pray that he spoke to you through this worship experience. But you know what? My goal is to please God and to represent God. I love this saying. It says, don't look to God for strength when you look to the world for your standard. Woo! Don't look to God for strength when you look to the world for your standard. And then the third thing is to persevere, to persevere. God's plan involves commitment and endurance. I just, Thursday night, was up till 2 in the morning submitting my final paper, and I'm like, oh, I'm done persevering with this, right? It's been good, but you gotta persevere, and you've got to endure. Don't strive to become who God already declared you to be. Simply accept it and take the authority that goes with your identity. Romans 5, I love this. Hear these words. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And that hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into us and through our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So friends, a couple questions to ponder today. What door has God placed before you? Are you in a time of discerning? Maybe a time to step up, a time of transition, maybe a time of perseverance, a time to be bold, or a time to take risk, a time to trust, maybe a time to celebrate. What does this time look like for you? Are you willing to walk through the doors that God has opened? I love this passage from Esther 4:14. She says, "For who knows, perhaps you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." I'm going to invite the team to come up as I pray. Won't you join me? Father, we come before you. Oh, we thank you for this day. God, we pray for the paths that we're on. So many times we don't know which path to take and which direction to go. So God, may we be reminded to position and posture ourselves at your feet and to trust you to know which direction that we should go. God, we thank you that we are who we are because of who you are. We thank you for this time this morning, and we love you, and we continue to worship and praise your holy name. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, Amen.